Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where Senior Pastor Robert L. Fry has a great message from God's holy word. We'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God, where our motto is, a salvation experience makes you a member. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Look for the red brick church in the valley. If you'd like more information about Heritage Church of God, contact the office at 419-861-9520 or visit our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. Now, let's listen to Pastor Fry share a message inspired by God.
Today's Palm Sunday. You know, the Bible says that when a Christian dies, we're to rejoice. Well, I can tell you this, I haven't quite got there yet. It's a hard time. But it doesn't change who Jesus is. Amen. And today we're going to talk about Palm Sunday. And you won't find this in a Bible college, what I'm going to talk about today, nor will you find it in a seminary. But you will find it when you start studying the Bible and reading the Bible. And you'll just start, things start clicking, and you start remembering other thoughts and other places and other things where the same thing happened. So today I want to read to you from Mark chapter 11. Let me start reading verse 1. And listen carefully. Now when they drew near Jerusalem to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered it, you will find a colt tied, and on which no one has sat. Loose it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it, and immediately he will send it here. Now, how did Jesus know there would be a colt there, and how did he know what to tell them to say, and how did he know that he would let them take that donkey and bring it to him? Because he was God. He had control of the donkey. He had control of the man. He had control of the place. And there was something very important about to happen. And it had all been set up by his father. And the Bible says, so they went their way and found the colt tied to a door outside on the street, and they loosed it. Some of those who stood there said to them, what are you doing, loosing the colt? And they spoke to them just as Jesus commanded, so they let them go. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloths on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then those who went before and those who followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Our Heavenly Father, might you have control of the message, each and every word. Might you speak beyond our minds and to our hearts. Might you give us hope and strength that we need today, because you are who you said you are, the Son of God, King of kings and Lord of lords. In Jesus' name, amen. Now you wonder why this had to be in the plan of God. I want to take you back to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 9. Let me read to you a passage of Scripture. And Elisha, the prophet, called one of the sons of the prophets, said to him, get yourself ready, take the flask of oil in your hand, and go to Ramoth-Gilead. Now, when you arrive at this place, now what was happening here? David was old. David was about to die. David knew that he was about to die. God had given him the kingdom, and he said, David, your sons, as long as they worship me, will rule on your throne. So David has sent this prophet out. And when you arrive at the place, look there for Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, and go in and make him rise from among the associates and take him to the inner room. I got ahead of myself. Can I do that? I want to go to 1 Kings. I was in 2 Kings. 1 Kings 1, I just want to read two verses. And King David said, call me Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and Benaniah the son of Jehoiada. So they came before the king. The king also said to him, take with you the servants of your Lord and have Solomon, my son, ride on my mule and take him down to Gilead. There let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him king over Israel and blow the horn and say, long live the king Solomon. This is when David was about to die. He said, I want him to go down. I want him to take my donkey and I want him to ride on my donkey into town, because God had set up a new kind of kingdom when he set up Israel. It was different from any other world kingdom. It was a servant leader. It was actually a leader, a king that served the people, not a king that ruled over the people to get what they could get. People were not their subjects. The king was the subject of the people. And all through the history of Israel, you'll see the kings that served God were servants of the people. And they took care of the people first. Now, David was getting old. And when he died, Solomon was anointed king. Then 150 years, then Solomon dies, and Ahab was the king of Israel. 150 years after Solomon dies. Then Elijah calls Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, and says, make him king, which takes us to 2 Kings, where I wanted to be in the first place. It says, then take a flask of oil and pour it on his head and say, thus says the Lord, I have anointed you king over Israel. Then open the doors and flee and do not delay. And the young man and the servant of the prophet went to Ramoth-Gilead. When they arrived, they were there, the captains of the army sitting. And he said, I have a message for you, Commander Jehu. Say, for what one of us? And he said, for you, Commander. Then he rose and he went into the house and he poured the oil on his head and said to him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I have anointed you king over the people of the Lord of Israel. And down to verse 12. Thus he spoke to me, saying, thus saith the Lord, I have anointed you king over Israel. Then each man hastened to take his garment and put it under him on the top of the steps. And they blew trumpet and said, Jehu is a king. So what happened with Jesus wasn't something that had just happenstance the day that Jesus was going into town. What happened was a coronation that had always happened in Israel. Because the Israel king that God had set up was a king that liberated the people. He was a king that came in and he rode on a donkey, not a war horse. He came into town, and the first thing that he did when he came into town was he was anointed with oil. The people accepted him. He was a populist. And then he went to the temple and he cleaned out the temple. Now, 150 years after Solomon had died, then we had Ahab and Jezebel that took over the kingdoms, the northern kingdom of Jerusalem. Southern kingdom was Jerusalem. Northern kingdom was Samaria. They took over that kingdom. We remember that Elijah defeated the prophets of Baal. Now, why did all of these bad kings that came up want to serve the prophets of Baal or some other god? Why wouldn't they just give in and serve to God? Because God made them serve the people. God made them deliver the temple, and there was someone higher than them. So always the difference between Christianity and a government, especially a government that is not ran for the people but for the leadership, has always been to try to do away or subdue Christianity. Because Christianity set a different kind of king. Now we have In Maccabees, and you don't have that book in your Bible, it's in the Catholic Bible, but there's a Maccabean War, and there's a fellow by the name of Judas Maccabee that came in after they had been scattered again, Israel. And they came in and they had desecrated the temple. They had burned pigs on the altar. And he came in again as a servant leader. Let me just read to you. I think I have that out of Maccabees somewhere here. I remember writing it down. Therefore, bring ivy wreaths, wands, and beautiful branches, and also fronds of palms, and offer hymns and thanksgiving to him who has given success to the purification of his own holy place. So again, they brought branches. Again, they brought the donkey. It was a symbol, not of who of the servant leaders that Israel had. It was a symbol from the time that God chose Israel to set up a standard for who Jesus Christ was going to be. And Jesus Christ was going to be that servant leader. In 60 BC, Rome took over the government. They had put in leaders that were not believers. They allowed political leaders to become religious leaders. And when Jesus was born, one of the reasons they wanted him put to death was because they understood what the Jewish leadership had been. They didn't want another one to come in like David, like Solomon, like Judas Maccabees. They didn't want another king like that, or Jehu, any of those. So they sought to kill him. All through his ministry, he was preaching the same message that had been preached from the time of David when God put him on the throne, to Solomon, to Jehu, to Judas Maccabeus. And now the Roman Empire was in control. The temple did not belong to the true worshipers. And let me take you through what happened that day when Jesus came into town. Not only did Jesus know, but God was setting up a coronation for a king. So God said, here's the way it was when I set it up for David, where I set it up for Solomon, where I set it up for Jehu, where I set it up for Judas Maccabees. I'm setting it up for Jesus Christ. But this is going to finish it. This is once and for all, as Paul said. So Jesus came, and he came riding on a donkey. The people knew that they were going to be liberated, and they knew the temple was going to be opened up, and they laid down palm branches in front of him as he traveled through the city. They put their coats and their jackets upon the donkey for him to ride on. It was the same thing that you saw all through the Bible. And the people were cheering, saying, Hosanna to the highest, the liberator. You know where he went? He went straight to the temple. And just as Judas Maccabeus did, and he tore down the pigs that were being roasted in the temple and the idols to the other gods, just as Jehu did when Ahab and Jezebel were taken down, he threw the prophets of the Baal were gone. Jesus went in, and what the Bible calls it, he purified the temple. He went in and he spoke directly to those who were using the temple for something other than what it was to be used for. And that was to serve the people. We've got it mixed up today in this country too. We have churches that actually believe the church is here to serve the leadership. I know this. When you're called of God to do something, you understand what God wants you to do. And that is being a servant leader. If you want to rise in this church, it's because you want to help people, not because you want to be a boss. If you want a job in this church, it's because of the fact that you want to help someone and lift someone up or teach someone and show them the true way of God, not because you want to be a boss or you think you belong on some board or you think you belong up front. That you can read real quick. And that's the other spirit. So if any church is going to grow or do anything, the first thing it has to do, it has to be purified. And that type of attitude and mentality has to be gone. And this is what Jesus did. He went into the temple and he purified the temple. In his coronation, they crowned him with a crown of thorns. They beat him with reeds. And his throne was a cross. And you say, but preacher, these same people that came and shouted Hosanna in the highest were the ones who were crying crucify him. I don't believe so. I don't think you can show that anywhere in the Bible. I believe these are the people that knew and understood who Jesus was and what he was going to do. Those who yelled crucify him were the leaders of the temple. Those who is going to step in their political mess and change everything. Those who are going to step into their political office or their religious office and mess things up. And they were crying, crucify him, crucify him. But we remember after he was rose from the dead, 5,000 people got saved immediately. He set his kingdom up. Jesus said before he died, my kingdom is not of this world, lest men would fight. It's in the hearts of men. See, there had to be a blood atonement because it's by his blood that we are healed. That healing comes from understanding we have eternal life. Even though the life of this body may be stuffed out, you cannot take my life away. This week, we'll celebrate the establishment of a new kingdom. This week, we'll celebrate the shattering of bondage and liberating the captives. This week, we'll give sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf and healing to the afflicted and give good news to the poor. This week, that Jerusalem will get a descendant of David who is wiser than Solomon, who rules from David's throne. This week, Jerusalem will get a new high priest. This week, all of us will be set free from the oppression of the enemy and that hates God's people. Because it's a new covenant established by blood, offered in humility by a high priest and king who liberates captives and establishes peace. And we might say with all of them, Hosanna. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming of our fathers, David's kingdom. Hosanna in the highest. It wasn't that Jesus just rode in on a donkey. It was what had been planned from the time that God gave David the promise. On your throne will be your seed. And he accomplished it all. And the Bible says this, whosoever believeth in me shall never perish but have everlasting life. And when we accept Jesus Christ and what he did for us, it becomes real to us and we understand what it is to be born again. People will challenge that. They'll usually use some hypocrite that the devil placed in church in order to justify their own ways. But his ways are not our ways. They're high above ours. I am a citizen of heaven, of the kingdom of God. Jesus is my king. I serve in a pure temple that's purified by his blood. And this Thursday, we'll celebrate that with full communion service. And I serve with a group of people that understand who he is. I remember growing up, there are many things I wanted to be. I wanted to be a lawyer. Then I got in the Navy, and I decided I wanted to be a millionaire by the time I was 30. I had a plan. I was offered a job by a man who said, you'll never have to work again. And is that a job? Yeah. He wanted me to help him run his business. He owned every garbage company south of Washington, D.C. He owned all the cab companies south of Washington, D.C. He owned several major cleaning businesses just south of Washington, D.C. Covered a 60-mile stretch, both directions. And he didn't trust his sons. I lived at his house right on the shore of the river where it met the Chesapeake Bay. Waterfront. Because he trusted me. No, even the officers didn't have a house like that. But you know what? I believe this. I believe this. And I believe that Jesus is a King of Kings and a Lord of Lords. And I believe if anyone is presented, if we present Jesus in the way that we're supposed to live for Jesus, we'll see revival, we'll see people getting saved all around the world. It's not by sword, but by my word, says the Lord. Let's stand. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the history that you give us in the Scripture that proves what the prophets said about who Jesus was. And Lord, it's proven to us because we have accepted you. You said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I pray today if there's anyone that doesn't know you, they'll reach out and say, Lord, I believe, help now my unbelief. Show me that you're real. Come into my heart and I'll live for you. And Lord, even though you made it simple for us, it wasn't cheap. For you came and showed men how to live. You showed us how to work for you. You showed us where our priorities ought to be. You showed us how our heart ought to be. And Lord, if we would lift you up and follow you, we wouldn't need a policeman. We wouldn't need much of a government. Because we'd follow you. Lord, we know you gave Israel king because they wanted one, not because they needed one. If they'd just followed you, all would have been well. But not everyone was following you, so you had to set up a king to be a judge and set up boundaries. Oh Lord, when we get to heaven and we won't need those boundaries, those fences, those walls, because we'll trust everyone with the key to our door, knowing that they respect us and we respect them. Oh, what a day that will be. Thank you for coming as a king. Thank you for setting up your kingdom. Thank you for opening a door through Jesus Christ that we might step into it and not wait until we die, but we can live in that kingdom right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Robert L. Fry from Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where a salvation experience makes you a member. If you've enjoyed Pastor Fry's message today, we'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Just look for the red brick church in the valley. If you'd like more information about Heritage Church of God, or you'd like to receive a copy of today's message, contact the church office at 419-861-9520 or visit our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. And this has been a Heritage Church of God audio outreach ministry.